Solomon is wisdom. A special wisdom, a wisdom from God. And so when we study the book of Proverbs, most of which was written by Solomon, we find God's wisdom there. And why was the book written? Well, the book of Proverbs starts this way, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables and the sayings and riddles of the wise. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. After we get this introduction, that it is to give us wisdom, that it is to give us understanding and instruction, then a few verses later we find wisdom personified as a woman. She is out calling in the street. She's calling to those who have rejected God's truth. And in verse 20 and 21, we read this. Wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. You see, God's wisdom is calling out. And we see God's wisdom calling out to us all around in our society. Most people don't listen. Most people don't want to listen, don't want to hear, and they don't realize what's going on around us. Verse 22 tells us what she's calling. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? You see, there are three groups of people she's talking to. People who reject wisdom's call of truth. And there seems to be an abundance of those in our society today. The first is the simple, the naive, we might say. Those without moral absolutes. They see everything that goes on in shades of gray. They refuse to acknowledge absolute truth exists. So they make up their own truth. If you think of what's going on around us, people are saying, as Pilate did, what is truth? Whatever I want it to be. Whatever I feel today. If I feel like being female today, I'll be female. If I feel like being male today, I'll be male. Whatever truth is what I feel. And so they make up their own. They follow the latest failed systems of the world, like socialism. And they say things like, well, if we just try it again, we'll get it right this time and it'll work. Even though it's failed time after time after time. They're naive. They're simple. They don't think things through. They don't follow God's wisdom. And then there is the group called the scoffers or the mockers. They're proud and arrogant. They're full of themselves. They've set themselves up as rulers, as judges of what is right and wrong. They push God to the side as irrelevant or outdated. Sounds like most of those in power today have just forgotten God and think of themselves as being able to decide what is right and what is wrong. And then there's the third group, those that are called the fools. Now, when the Bible uses the term fools, it means godless one. Those who have rejected the call of God completely. And while they claim to follow the facts, if you look at what's happening, you see what they're following is money. Whoever pays them the most, whoever supports them, is what they will say and do rather than speaking and saying truth. You see, wisdom is crying out. Listen to God. Follow His ways. He knows what's right. He will guide us in the proper way, but people don't want to listen. And those three groups refuse to listen to God by their own choice. They chose to do things their way and reject Him. Verse 23, rebuke or repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. You see, if they would only listen, God's wisdom is available to them. We have it in His Word. We have it in His Bible. We speak it all the time, but people don't want to listen. And then look at the result of not listening. Verses 24 through 26. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. You see, people tell God to leave them alone. Don't bother me with the truth of things. I don't want to do things your way. I want to do them my own way. And then when calamity comes, when the marriage falls apart, when the job fails, when the emotions collapse, when the finances run out, when lawlessness overtakes the city, they try to run to God for wisdom. And wisdom laughs. Notice it's not God laughing. God's not laughing at the problems. It's wisdom laughing. Wisdom laughing because they thought, all I have to do is call on God and He'll bail me out. God doesn't work that way. People want to live lives independent of divine guidance until they have a mess, and then they want God to just step in and make everything right. They want to have the benefits of the wisdom they ignored for many years, and they want it all in one shot. But that wisdom is something that you gain by time and effort in learning the Word of God day by day and year by year. 2 Peter 3, verse 16 and 17 tells us, or 2 Peter 3, verse 18 tells us, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge. We need to keep working on it. Keep understanding what He's telling us. Because we're told that if we study the Scriptures, that's going to give us the answers we're looking for. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, God's given us the answers. He's given us His wisdom. But people don't want to listen. So wisdom continues in Proverbs 1, verses 27 to 29. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. You see, the beginning of wisdom was knowing to fear the Lord. If they reject wisdom, they're not going to find God. There's just so many things that people experience in this life, so many problems. And a lot of times when people have a problem, they suddenly get religion. You know, they'll be at services all the time. They'll call the preacher, the elders for advice. They want quick, easy answers. When a person uses God for emergencies only, they're not going to find the help they're looking for. When people have the attitude, God, fix this mess, but don't tell me how to run my life, because, you know, I've got to make it in this world. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, so I've got to be a dog too. Then wisdom says, forget it. If you don't want me with you all the time, don't expect to find me when you're having problems. You see, that's the attitude that most of the world has. But listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You see, most of the world has the idea, I'm going to do things my way, and so they don't listen to God's wisdom. They don't follow what He has to say, and they take that broad way. And they end up with problems and destruction. Now, there are some non-Christians who seem to have a higher moral code than some Christians do. Why is that? Well, because they're following biblical principles, even though they don't claim to accept the God who gave them. And meanwhile, there are other Christians who buy into the world's wisdom, and so they get the same results as the world. They have anxiety, they have family problems, they have feuds between brothers. Too often we let the world get into the church instead of the church getting into the world. And what happens to people like that? Well, verse 30 through 32. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, They will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. I mean, whose results do we want? Do we want the results that we see happening around us in our world, or those who have rejected God, or do we want the results that God has given us in His Word? You know, in his early life, Solomon followed God's laws and commands, and he was blessed with wisdom. But later in his life, he left God's guidance and instead spent his time trying everything he could to find happiness and the meaning in life. When he left God, his life's meaning left, and so he tried to find it in other things. You know, can I find it in gaining this or gaining that or getting more money or having more wives or more power or more authority? And everything that he found, he ended up writing in the book of Ecclesiastes with the words, "All is vanity. Nothing in this world can satisfy." Like Solomon in his later years, many people today live with the goals of having fun, being your own person. They said, "Don't let anybody tell you how to live or what's right or wrong." And many may seem to be getting by all right that way until payday comes. And payday is coming. You see, a shopping spree is fun until 30 days later when the bills come due. And then when you can't pay, interest is tacked on. You see, that's the world's wisdom. You pay more for not being able to pay less earlier. I mean, does that make sense? You couldn't pay less earlier, so they're going to charge you more later. If you couldn't pay that, how can you pay this? It just doesn't make sense. And you find out that you're in deep trouble. We need to fill our spiritual account with God's divine wisdom. If we don't, the things you do are going to come back on you and destroy you. But what if you've ignored God's wisdom in the past and followed your own ways? Is there any hope? Well, verse 33 tells us this, "But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." You see, there is hope. Oh, we may have to pay for past mistakes. We may have to work extra to pay for past problems. May have to deal with the consequences of past immoral behavior. But if we listen to God's wisdom, we don't have to fall into the same trap twice. Don't be the kind of person who tries to live on the fence, who tries to follow God and do it on your own terms. It just doesn't work. We have to follow Him on His terms. Only when we set our minds to follow His principles and wisdom completely, using His Word to guide our lives, only then will we find the life that Christ intends for us to have. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." God wants you to have a good and useful life. He wants you to have a life that is worth living here on this earth. Wisdom's calling. Calling in the streets. Is anybody listening? Is anybody seeking wisdom? Does anybody want to know the truth? Is anybody trying to learn and follow God's ways? Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-8, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened." We've mentioned before, all of those words are continuing action words. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuous way of life. We need to study the Scriptures diligently and then ask God for the wisdom to apply the knowledge we gain from His Word. James 1:5 tells us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind." You see, we don't ask God for knowledge. We need to study His Word to get knowledge. But once we have the knowledge, we know what He says, we can ask for wisdom to know how to apply that knowledge, to know how to use the things that He's told us. That, He says, we can ask for, and He will give it to us. But when we ask, we can't say, "Well, I don't know if this will work or not, but I'll pray about it. I'll ask God for it, but I'm not sure He's going to listen to me." If you've got that attitude, you might as well not bother, because He's not going to. He wants us not to doubt. He wants us to be sure that He hears and that He will take care of us. You know, in Jesus, we find God's wisdom. We find His wisdom in human form. And He is the one that gave us God's plan to remove our sins and gain the forgiveness and the promise of heaven. Jesus said in John 6, verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that He sent. You know, I find that verse interesting because we use it a lot. We have to believe. Yes, we understand that. And yet there are people who say, well, you know, you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved because the Bible says that we're not saved by works. And being baptized is a work. Oh, what does this verse say? The work of God is this, to believe. You know, believing is a work. Does that mean you don't have to believe? The Bible says believing is a work too. We're told in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you too will all perish. Is that a work? Is it something you have to do? Yes, you have to repent. That's a work. Matthew 10, verse 32, 33, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven, but whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. We have to confess our faith. We have to say, I believe Jesus is God's Son. Is that a work? Is that something you have to do? Yes. And yet people say, well, you're not saved by works. No, those works don't save us. God's grace saves us. But there are certain things we have to do in order to access God's grace, in order to come in contact with God's Son's blood. And we must be baptized. Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. You see, when we're baptized, we contact Jesus' blood. And His blood takes away our sins. That's God's wisdom. It doesn't make sense to people. How can being baptized, how can being immersed in water take away sin? Doesn't make sense to me, they say. Well, that's because we're thinking with human wisdom instead of God's wisdom. God said, this is my way. I chose the things that seem foolish to the world. I choose the things that are not important, the things that aren't, in order to make my wisdom different from that of the world. You see, God's wisdom cries out to us. The question is, are we going to listen to it? Are we going to follow it? Are we going to do things His way? At this time, we offer the invitation. If you need to have your sins washed away in baptism, if you need to contact the blood of Jesus, if you need to do things according to the Scriptures, you need to believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized, immersed in water, to have your sins taken away. And He said, I'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit to live in you, so that He will be with you and strengthen you and help you to live the way you need to live. If you've done those things, but the world has crept into your life, and you're starting to think like everybody else and feel like everybody else and do things like everybody else, and you just feel like, well, I have to fit in. And you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters to get back in God's way and follow His wisdom and not the wisdom of everyone around you. You have that opportunity too as we stand together now and sing our invitation song.